start with a sermon, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 10. And while you're turning, before I dismiss the young people, just to give a little plug for our program this coming Wednesday night that we're kicking off. As Pastor Harris said, it's MAPS for kids, Missions Adventure Preparation School. So we're going to be taking you to different countries and possibly take a plane ride, maybe, if we can work that out, and take you to different countries. You're going to get to meet a missionary that served at that country, and they'll be visiting with us. We might even get some people to come in and tell us about some missions trips that they have taken to those countries. So you will get your own very own passport that will get stamped once you've gone to the country and completed the work that you need to do at that country. So we are definitely looking forward to the next couple weeks of teaching you young people how you can be missionaries like other people have been missionaries. And so we're looking forward to that. So you be ready Wednesday night. And my little thing says, if you can wear something pertaining to Africa, you'll get an extra stamp on your passport. So sounds like we might be headed to Africa this Wednesday night. So see if you can find something you can wear that pertains to Africa and be ready there for Wednesday night. All right, young people, you can be dismissed. And we will ourselves head to Proverbs chapter 10. And as you're turning there, we had an excellent week of camp as well. I was up at the Penwood Bible Camp. Don't know that I even knew it existed, especially after being where it was. I found out why I didn't know where it existed, because it almost existed next to nowhere. But anyway, we had no phone service. We had no email. It was actually a good week. But yesterday, we were trying to get all caught up with all that type of stuff, getting back to the civilization. But we had an excellent week of camp. I got to speak 9 times in the last 5 days. So I loved it. It was wonderful. We had, when we left, we knew of several young people, at least 2 young people that had trusted Christ as Savior. And I'll just share one of them with you. The counselor shared with me on Thursday that Thursday evening he was telling me this, that afternoon he was talking with one of his campers, and he kind of was pretty sure that this one camper was not saved. And so he was, you know, talking with him that afternoon and, you know, just asking him different questions, trying to draw the conversation around to his salvation. And he said, the more questions I asked him, the more answers he gave that were right. And, you know, I finally just came right out and said, well, do you know the Lord? Are you saved? And he said, my camper said, well, yeah, I am. And he said, I was kind of shocked. And I said, well, when did you get saved? And the camper said, last night in the middle of the service. And so they had several that went out during the service, but he wasn't one of them. He got saved right there in the middle of the service and didn't need any extra help. So I guess I made it plain enough that he could understand. He didn't need any extra verses, but that was just a blessing to hear God even doing a work in the midst of the service. So again, we appreciate your prayers. I know you were faithfully praying for us and praying for the other young people that were at camp and the young people that are ministering in camp. And we can't do it without your prayers. We see God do over and extra and abundantly above what we can even imagine, and that's because God's people are praying for us. So we appreciate that so much. This morning, you're there in Proverbs chapter 10. Look with me at verse 22. 22. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. I want to speak this morning about blessed is the man who. And we're going to fill in the blank this morning several times. But that's going to be our message this morning. Blessed is the man who. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer as we begin to look at God's word? Lord, thank you for the opportunity to stand and to have the privilege to preach your word once again today. Lord, we pray for the other parts of the building this morning that you would bless as the young people are taught your word. Lord, that they would understand it, they would comprehend it, they would know exactly what it is you're trying to teach them today. Lord, we pray for our pastor that is away today. Maybe he's even ministering today at a church, speaking your word. Maybe he's still traveling and he's having the opportunity to minister your word to somebody in a plane seat next to him. Whatever the case may be, Lord, we pray for him that you would bless him today and the group that he's with as they endeavor to minister and share the gospel with those that need to hear it. Lord, we pray today for each of us here this morning that, Lord, as your word is spoken, that you would take it and apply it to our hearts, that we would have ears that can hear, eyes that can see, hearts that can understand what it is you have for us today. Lord, I pray you'd help us to take evaluation of our life and see if, as our verse said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Lord, help us to know this morning if we are rich according to God's standards, according to His terms. Lord, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. When you hear the word rich, what do you think of? Rich, when you're rich with what? Sometimes we think of acres or land. I'm rich because I have so many square miles of property. I have 1 acre. I don't consider myself rich with a lot of dirt. But some people, they measure their stature of richness by how many acres are on the deed to their property. Maybe it's with square footage of house that you own. Or maybe we could make that multiple houses. I have enough trouble keeping up with one house. I couldn't imagine having another one that I just use once or twice a year. But there's people that have several that way. And they measure their stature by how many square feet they own in a house. Or maybe it's vehicles. Maybe you measure your stature by how many four-wheeled vehicles you have. I did a work for a guy here not too long ago, and some of you may know him because you're associated with him, but I was doing work for him, and he was telling me about the cars he owns. And he's a Corvette guy. And he was sharing with me, and Mike knows who he is. He was sharing with me. He's like, well, I got this one, and I got this one, and I got that one. I'm like, well, brother, how many do you have? He's like, I got 6 of them. I'm like, wow. Some of them he doesn't even drive. They just sit in his basement. And they're just there. And he's like, I realize, I understand, I can't take them with me when I go. But he's like, cars is my thing. Maybe I didn't mention your thing this morning. Maybe, again, when we think of riches, what's the first thing we think of is our bank account, right? Actual money. Maybe you think of investments. Again, you measure yourself by how much dollar signs you have. What does God say makes us rich? This verse tells us the blessing of the Lord. Brother Mike read for us 1 Timothy 6. You don't have to turn there again. But Jesus says here in Proverbs that God's blessing, the latter part of the verse says, He adds no sorrow with it. There's no sorrow that comes with God's blessings. When we are rich, according to God's standards, we don't get worldly sorrow attached to it. Whereas, Brother Mike read for us, that they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Notice the wording, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Again, if our life is consumed in property, in houses, in money, in cars, in things, again, you can fill the blank. Maybe it's not cars for you. Maybe it's a gun rack full of guns, or you fill the blank in. Maybe it's a closet full of clothes. I don't know. But if we consume ourselves with those, the Bible tells us, with those come sorrow. worldly accomplishments and pleasures and gains come with their own set of sorrows. Money, is it Proverbs? Proverbs 23. Well, you're right there in Proverbs. Turn over. Proverbs 23. And look at verse 5. Again, just to talk about money. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Money is here one day and it's gone the next. I remember, and I'm not sure what year it was. It was either 2008 or 2009 when the stock market fell, crashed, whatever it did. To be honest, it didn't really affect me other than maybe the price of gas went up and that affected me. But I remember talking to somebody and they told me that in one day they lost $150,000 when that market crashed. I mean, that's more than I make in years. And they lost in one day. This verse is true, folks. Money makes itself wings and it can fly away. It can be gone. And God does not judge us by acres or dollar signs or square footage. How does God consider us rich? The Psalms, and you can turn with me to Psalm chapter 1. We're going to look at the book of Psalms this morning. Seven times, the psalmist says, "Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man." Seven different times. And as we look at each of these passages, we can gain a fuller knowledge this morning of what it means to be rich with God's blessings. What's it mean to be rich with God's blessings? Well, number one, blessed is the man who is committed to the Word of God. He's committed to the Word of God. Look with me at verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Notice verse 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Blessed is the man who's committed to the Word of God. We may say that the Bible is our final authority for faith and practice. There's probably some type of a statement like that in our Constitution. And we as Christians may say that as an orthodox statement, but I have a question. Do we actually let it become the final authority for how we actually live? Do we let it make the final authority, make the final decision on how we live? Are we truly committed to what the Bible says and following it? The man that is blessed is truly committed to God's Word. That means every time it speaks to him, he obeys. It sounds like James chapter 1. Verses 22 through 25, where a Christian that is committed to God's Word comes to it and it acts like a mirror. And it shows him who he really is. And he changes to become more like what it says he should be. That's a true committed Christian. Versus someone who is not committed to the Word of God, he comes to the Word of God and it says, "Edwin, this is what you're like." And Edwin says, "You know what? I'm fine with that. It's okay. Just let it there. It's fine. And I go my own way." And the Bible says I deceive myself because I don't obey. I'm not committed to what God's Word says. Are you committed to the Word of God? Our belief affects our behavior. If we say it's our final authority, it should affect how we live. It should change the way we live. A man that is blessed is committed to the Word of God. Number one. Let's turn with me, would you, over to Psalm 32. Let's look at a second one. I got seven of them to get through, although I'm up here early. So that's good. A second one, Psalm 32 and verse 1. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Verse 2 also says, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile." Blessed, number 2, is the man who is cleansed by the forgiveness of God, cleansed by the forgiveness of God. What are the blessings of being forgiven? Think with me. Some blessings of being forgiven. The first blessing I think of is heaven. Heaven. What a blessing. Because my sins are forgiven, heaven can be my home one day. I will walk on streets of gold one day. That's a blessing in my life. I am more blessed in just this one point, in this one aspect, than the richest person here on earth. Because no amount of his money will ever pay for his sin or get his sin forgiven. I am richer than, I mean, who is he? I don't know, or her. I didn't look at Forbes 400 or 500, whatever it is. I don't know who's at the top of the list this year. But you know what? If their sins aren't forgiven, you and I are richer than them. Because our sins are forgiven. Not only are our sins forgiven, not only do we have heaven as our home, we will never be separated from God. You know, when Jesus hung on the cross, God turned his back on his Son. The Son was separated from the Father for a period of time. That is something you and I, if we're Christians, if we have forgiveness for our sins, we'll never experience that. Whereas someone that doesn't have forgiveness through salvation, if they die in their sins, the Bible tells us they go to hell. They spend eternity in hell, separated from God for all eternity. I will never be separated from God. I have no more guilt now. Not only did Jesus forgive my sin, not only did he wash it away, he took away the guilt that was there. Like that burden that Pilgrim carried in Pilgrim's Progress. It was weighing him down, his sin. Guess what? When that sin was released, that burden left. It was gone. No more guilt. We have peace with God. We're at peace with the Almighty God. We're on speaking terms with Him. We can, just as Brother Mike took us into the throne room this morning in prayer, we have access to God because we're at peace with Him. The way is clear. Not only that, no more penalty for sin. Again, we talked at heaven at the beginning, down at the end, no penalty for sin. I don't have to die and pay for my own sin because I accepted Christ as my Savior. Have you done that this morning? Have you personally asked Jesus to be your Savior and to forgive you of your sin? Are you blessed this morning because you have been cleansed by God's forgiveness? But not just in salvation. Again, on a daily basis, do we let God confront us with our sin? Again, it ties back into number one, being committed to God's Word and letting Him speak to us. Or do you and I have areas in our life that maybe we have a reserved sign on? That's my part. That's my little room in my heart. Or maybe we have an off limits. Or maybe a no access. Or a keep out sign. Or, you know, beware of the dog. Don't go in there, God. Don't go in there. Or no trespassing. Our list could go on and on. We hold back one little part and say, this is my part. Guess what, folks? God wants all the keys to our life. Especially the master key. The one that unlocks all the doors. You know, many times we hand over the whole ring, but we keep one. We hold back one and we say, well, my entertainment, that's my area, or my sports, or my hunting, or again, you fill the blank in. There are eternal benefits for coming clean with God on a daily basis. On a daily basis. You know, Thursday night I spoke on being clean to the young people. And I used a little illustration about a clear glass of water. And I talked about how when we're saved, God washes our sins away and He makes us clean. And we're clear, but we're not perfect now. We still make mistakes. We still sin. And so I took food coloring, and we mentioned several different sins, and I dropped a drop of food coloring in every time I mentioned a sin. And I said, when I sin, look what it does to my life. And then we worked the process out of washing of water by the Word and confessing to God our sins. And as we confess them, 1 John 1:9 says, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. And we went through the whole process. And then I encouraged the children. I said, young people, this is something you should do every day. You should be doing this every day, not once a year at camp. Or for us at church, you know, once a year at our revival services. We should be daily letting God cleanse us and clean us. Again, I was thinking about this sermon last night. I got home and it had rained a lot at my house too. And my garden was doing excellent. But besides the produce, there was something else in my garden that was doing good too. It was called weeds. It was called weeds. But you know, last night, Caitlin and Cody and I, we went out to our little garden behind the house that has the lettuce and the herbs right there for Julie to use. And we started picking the weeds. You know how easy it was to pick the weeds? Do you know why? Because they'd been saturated in water all week long. And they just came out, roots and all. Real easy. Even Katie was able to pull them out. Because they'd been saturated. Do you know what? You know how easy it is to get rid of sin? When we're saturated in God's Word, man, that sin just goes. It's easy to get rid of. But you know what? When I'm not saturated in God's Word, guess what? That sin gets a hold. And it starts putting out deep roots and getting a hold in my life. And it's harder to get rid of. The man that is blessed is cleansed by God's Word. Cleansed. He has God's forgiveness on a daily basis. Should be an everyday thing. But not only that, you're there in 32. Let's go over to 34, Psalm 34. Look with me, number 3, Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Number 3, blessed is the man who is confident in the direction of God. Blessed is the man who is confident in the direction of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Are you trusting God this morning? Are you trusting God for direction in your life? Again, as pastor says, where are your feet? Where are your feet in life? This morning, your feet are where they're supposed to be, right? Did God direct you here? I'm sure He did. He wanted you here in church this morning. But what about tomorrow? Where will your feet be tomorrow? Will you still be following God's direction? For every decision you make, are you asking for God's direction? Let me share with you just a simple example. We last year, in the middle of the year, when Julie was expecting number 3, we realized our travel vehicle was getting a little too small. We were starting to outgrow it, the extended cab pickup, and we either needed a four-door or we ended up going with a Suburban. And we just watched God provide for us each step of the way. And provide, actually, we switched vehicles with a family down in the valley. They took our truck because they needed a truck for their farm, and we took their Suburban because we needed a bigger, better travel vehicle. And last summer, we took a trip out west and did a bunch of ministry out west, and we took that vehicle. And man, was it a blessing to have all that space. Katie and Cody didn't know what to do. They could turn around and see way, way, way to the back before the back window was even there. Man, they loved it. And we loved it. Until we tried to pull a trailer with it. And it pulled the trailer, but it took us a lot longer to get where we were going. We realized, you know what, this is a little older than we need to pull a trailer. And we, again, started taking our need to God. And we watched God turn around and re-provide. Same type of vehicle, just a little newer that could pull the trailer that we have. And in the course of all that going on, I used to work with the Amish. I don't work with them anymore. I do my own carpentry work. And all of a sudden, I'm running my own business, and I need a truck to do carpentry work. Because the nice Suburban we have, my wife didn't like me hauling drywall in it. And plaster and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden I need a truck. And there was a point, folks, and I'll be honest with you, that I almost doubted what God led us to do a year ago in getting rid of a truck we had and trading for a Suburban. And when we switched Suburbans, the people that had the Suburban wanted the Suburban back. We didn't even have to put a for sale sign on it. Again, God provided each step of the way. Guess what? God provided me a pickup truck. I didn't get the old black one because I say it's old, it's still new. It's worth too much. And I don't need that much money invested in a second vehicle for the second business, because this is the first business. But God provided. But there was a time there where I, you know, if I could see it from backwards to forwards, I don't know if I would have sold my truck. But you know what? God said, I don't want you to have that truck. I want you to have this vehicle. And when it's time for another vehicle, I'll provide the next one for you too. Are you and I confident in the direction of God? I could go back a year ago and say, I'm confident God wants me to sell this truck and get this vehicle. I was confident. I knew it was God's direction. Are you confident this morning that you are where you're supposed to be in life right now? Again, let me give you an example. When I graduated college, after 5 years in Bible college, I went home and got a job as a carpenter. And there were days I would get up and I'd say, what in the world am I doing? I trained for 5 years to be in the ministry and I'm swinging a hammer. This doesn't make sense. And I doubted God's direction, but it was God's direction. He wanted me to be home helping my church that was without a pastor at the time, and He provided a job doing carpentry work. And all of a sudden, 6-7 years fast forward down the road, I'm in evangelism and I'm traveling, but I don't always have a schedule on the meeting. And I just lost my job that I had, that the employer was willing to let me come and go as I pleased. There's not too many employers out there that will let you do that. And now I don't have a job, and what am I going to do? Well, I spent 3 years doing carpentry work. Maybe I should see if there's some jobs that I can do. And all of a sudden, the picture starts tying together. Why I spent 3 years right after Bible college doing carpentry work. Because I was going to need that skill. And as we go to churches and we minister for a week in churches and there's projects around the church, guess what? I have a talent. I have an ability that can meet those needs as there's time. God doesn't make a mistake, folks. You can trust a God who cannot fail. You're not at risk. Trusting God is not a risk because you're trusting someone who cannot fail. Trusting God is not a risk because you're following someone who can't get lost. Trusting God is not a risk because you're leaning on someone who cannot fall. It's not a risk to step out on faith and trust God. God won't let you down. God won't take you down a wrong turn and lead you to a dead end. If you follow God, He'll get you there every time, on time. And sometimes that timing is a little longer than our timing. But God will still get you there. Are you confident in the direction of God? Again, I repeat, do you ask God for His direction each day? Can I quote for you? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. What does He say He'll do? He'll direct our path. Do you acknowledge Him every day? Say, God, what do you want me to do here in this situation, faced with this problem, with this need in my life? Do you ask for His direction? The blessed man is confident in God's direction. Not only that, let's go to Psalm 65. Psalm 65 and verse 4. Psalm 65 and verse number 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and cause us to approach unto Thee, that He may dwell in Thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of Thy house, even of Thy holy temple. Blessed, number four, is the man who is consumed with the knowledge of God. Consumed with the knowledge of God. Say, what does that mean? Well, let me read what Paul wrote, because he said it better than I can. Philippians 3, verse 10. That I may know Him. That's a man consumed with the knowledge of God. Knowing God. And by the way, Paul was a Christian there. So he wasn't wanting to know someone who could save him. He was wanting to know the one who did save him. Consumed with the knowledge of God. Are you consumed with knowing God? How much do you know about God today more than you knew about Him yesterday? Tomorrow you won't be in church. You won't hear a sermon preached or a Sunday school lesson taught. Tomorrow, will you know more about God tomorrow than you did today? Paul said it was a process in his life. He was ever desiring to know more about his God. And he was consumed with it. That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. That I may know Him. It was like a driving force in the Apostle Paul's life. What is it that's a driving force in your life? Is it to ultimately know more about God? Right before I went to sleep last night, and again, I'm just being honest with you and confessing to you, I told Julie, I said, man, I enjoyed today just studying and getting my thoughts prepared for tomorrow as of last night. But I told her, I said, why is it that next week I have carpentry jobs and I won't be quite as driven to study God's Word like I was this week? Because I knew I had a sermon to prepare. Because people were going to come to church and expect to hear from God, and I needed to find out what God had for us. You know why? I'm not quite as committed to the knowledge of God. It's not an overriding driving force. Maybe there's other things that are taking precedent. I need to get priorities right, don't I? And even if I don't have a meeting scheduled, I still need to be consumed with knowing God. Consumed with knowing God. But number five, let's go 20 more Psalms. Psalm 84. Number 5. Psalm 84 and verse 5. We'll see another blessed thought here. Blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Number 5. Blessed is the man who is controlled by the power of God. Controlled by the power of God. Who do you rely on for your strength from day to day? Do you rely on yourself? On what you can do? On what you can accomplish? On what you can think and get your way through something? Or do you rely on an outside source? On someone else? Psalm 118 verse 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Why can we trust in the Lord? Is He strong enough? Is He smart enough? Can He get us there? I like this illustration. Jeremiah 32 verse 17 says, ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for Thee. I like that illustration, that word picture there. He made the heavens and the earth with His outstretched arm. When I ask Cody to show me how strong he is, what am I trying to get him to do? Show me his muscles, right? And how do I show you my muscles? How does he show me? By flexing them like this. He doesn't say, here, see my muscle? No. He says, here, see my muscle, feel it. But God is so mighty and so powerful, he does not have to flex his muscles to create the earth. He does it with an outstretched hand. Do you know how much strength I have in my outstretched hand? Not a whole lot. A little bit, but not a whole lot. No, my strength is in here. My God, he stretches out his hand. And he creates the earth. And I'm just thinking, my God sends his son. And he stretches out his hands. And he saves all humanity with stretched out hands. Can you trust him for your strength today? Sure you can. Sure you can. Are you controlled by the power of God? Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. But not only that. Actually, before we move on, hold your place here in Psalms. I want you to go with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And see a prayer that Paul prays. Hold your place there in Psalms and Colossians chapter 1. And we just talked about three of them. Blessed is the man that's controlled by the power of God. Blessed is the man that is confident in the direction of God and is consumed with the knowledge of God. Look at this prayer that Paul prays for the Colossians. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Notice what he prays. And to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and in spiritual understanding. That's God's direction. Knowing God's will. But then verse 10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and in increasing in the knowledge of God. That's being consumed with knowing God. And then verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. There's someone controlled by the power of God, relying on God's strength. The Apostle Paul prays that for the Colossians. I thought it was interesting that all three of those, right in a row, were right in that prayer. Again, maybe that's a prayer you could pray for your life on a daily basis. God, I want your direction today. God, I want to know you better today. God, I need your help today. But I got a couple more, two more, and then we're done. Number six, back in Psalms, let's go to Psalm 90. Psalm 94. Psalm 94 and verse 12. Psalm 94 and verse 12 says, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. This is probably my least favorite one this morning. Blessed is the man who is corrected by the chastening of God. You know, if you tell me, look back on your life as a child, your childhood, what are some of your favorite times? At the top of the list would not be the times I went to the woodshed, so to speak. The times that I got corrected by mom and dad and straightened out. No, they weren't my favorite times. But God says, I'm blessed if I'm chastened by him. I'm blessed. This is like being taken to God's woodshed. Can I read for you Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6? And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You and I can be confident that if God is correcting us, it's because he loves us. It's because, the Bible says, he scourgeth every son he receiveth. It's because we're his son. We could kind of say that's a birthmark of a believer. listen, folks, if you can sin and get away with it, maybe it's because you don't have a Heavenly Father. Because my Heavenly Father corrects me when I sin. And yeah, I can get away with it if I don't want to confess it and forsake it. But He doesn't make my life very easy if I just let that sin sit in there and take hold and get rooted. God chastens me. He corrects me because I'm His son. A few verses later in Hebrews 12 says, verse 10, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, speaking about our parents. But He," meaning God, "for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth joyous." Amen to that. "But grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Chastening. It's not pleasant right in the middle of it. But God said chastening brings blessing in my life. It might be on the back end of the chastening, after I've gone through it. But God blesses me for accepting His chastening, for being corrected by the chastening of God. And number 7, let's go to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Again, we probably could have made each one of these their own sermon in and of themselves. But as we talk about being blessed by God, I think we need to take it as a whole, at least to start with. I don't know that I'll get 7 more times to preach to you, so. But we'll take the blessing as a whole. And here's the 7th time the psalmist says, "Blessed is the man." Psalm 112 and verse 1. "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments." Number 7, blessed is the man who is conscious of the presence of God. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Are you God conscious? You say, "Yeah, I'm in church this morning. God's here. I know He is. I'm conscious of God's presence." What about in a few minutes when you're on your way home? Will you still be conscious of God's presence? Because He's still there with you. To fear God means that you have an awareness of God about your life. Again, when we hear the word fear, we think of being afraid. And there probably is some part of fear, fearing God, that we should be afraid of God, because He is all powerful and He is just, and He does just sin. He does judge sin. But the fear of God also carries with it a reverence and a respect, not just afraid. And it carries with it an awareness that God is with us. Do you realize that God is with you everywhere you go? Do you therefore make decisions based on the fact that God's with you? Does He come into your decision making? Because He's right there with you. Does He come into play in your thought life when you think about something? Because He can see your thoughts as if they were actions, as if they were words and deeds. Does He come into play in how you respond to, how you react to a situation? Because He's right there with you. Are you God conscious? Are you aware of Him? I don't know who the preacher was, but I heard the illustration. I missed the name. But an old-time preacher was asked, "When was the last time you spent a whole hour in prayer?" And he gave the answer. He said, "You know what? I can't remember the last time I spent a whole hour praying." But then he added, "But I also can't remember the last time I went a whole hour without praying." Brings whole new meaning to 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." Why? Because God's there with us. We can talk to Him throughout the day. Are you conscious of God's presence? Again, this illustration helps me understand being God conscious. We're here on Center Hall Mountain. And if you know the road out here, you know that on this side of the mountain going down the center hall, it's just two lanes and basically straight down. But on this side, it's different. Going down to Pleasant Gap, you got a bunch of S-turns. And so you have two lanes coming up and one going down. One day, I was headed down that side of the mountain. And I was going through those S-turns and coming around those S-turns in the other opposing two lanes was a group of four or five cars. And as they came around the corner, I noticed that in the midst of them was a police officer car. And before I had that thought, I made sure my seatbelt was on and made sure my odometer was where it needed to be. But I had this thought, I'll bet you every one of those cars in that group is obeying the driving laws of the land to a T. I mean, I'll bet you when they get ready to change lanes, they turn their turn signal on and they make sure there's enough space between them and the other car. When they come to a stop sign, they stop completely. They don't do one of those roll through kind, you know, and I'll stop twice next time. I know none of you would ever do that, but, you know, I mean, I'll bet you they're doing everything perfect. Why? Because there's a police officer there. And if they don't do everything just right, he's going to let them know about it, isn't he? He's going to make his presence felt. But just him being there, there's a felt presence, isn't there? You know, when you're driving down the highway and you're going faster than you should, and you go past the median, and there's that little strip there, and there's that car sitting there, and you have that sinking feeling in your heart. And you're watching the rearview mirror just to see if that white car comes out with lights blazing. That's the felt presence, right? Do you have that feeling? Well, let me finish my illustration. As quick as I had that thought about those five cars, God said in my heart, "What, Edrin, isn't that how you live your life? Because I'm right there with you. Aren't you conscious and aware not to look at something a second time because you know I'm right there looking at it with you? Aren't you conscious of before you say something, you think about it and make sure it pleases me because I'm going to hear it? Before you go somewhere, you don't go there, Edwin, because I'm with you. And I wouldn't want to go there. I had an invitation right down there on the mountain." Convicting thought, isn't it? Do we live our life like that? God conscious. God says, blessed is the man who is conscious of him, of his presence. So folks, this morning, in conclusion, are you rich in God's eyes this morning? God's blessings aren't measured by acres. They're not measured with a dollar sign. They're not measured in square feet. They're measured in eternal measurements, in measurements that only God can see. Are you rich in God's blessings this morning, especially in the blessing of being forgiven? I hope you are. Let's go from this place being rich in God's blessings and using those blessings in our life, the ones He's made available to us. Are you rich? Guess what? God adds no sorrow with it. You won't receive any sorrow this week being rich in God's blessings. Let's go from this place being rich in God's blessing. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? And as I pray, maybe you're here this morning, you say, you know what, Brother Edwin, pray for me. God spoke to my heart. I wonder this morning, maybe God spoke to you in the area of salvation, about being forgiven. Maybe you're here this morning and say, you know what, Brother Edwin? I have never accepted the blessing of God's salvation for my life. I've never been cleansed. I've never been clean. I've never asked God to forgive me of my sin and to promise me a home in heaven, one of those blessings of being forgiven. Maybe you're here this morning and that's you. You say, pray for me. I'm concerned about my salvation, about my soul. Would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. I won't point you out. I won't embarrass you. I want to pray for you. I'm concerned about my salvation. Anyone? I see no one. So I'll assume that we all have been forgiven. Are you taking available those blessings that God gives to you? Are you rich this morning in God's blessings? Maybe you say, you know what, Brother Edwin, this morning there's a blessing I'm not rich in. And I'm not going to go down through the seven things we mentioned, but you say, you know what, Brother Edwin, God spoke to my heart. I need to do business with Him this morning and make some things right so that I am rich in God's eyes this morning. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you as I close in prayer. God spoke to my heart. Would you pray for me? There's an area that I need to get right. I see that hand. Are there others? Pray for me. I see another one. Others? Anyone else before I close in prayer? And we have our hymn of invitation. Lord, thank You for Your Word this morning. Lord, thank You for, first of all, Your forgiveness. And Lord, the fact that just in that one blessing, just in that one word, we have so much in You. You have given us so much. Lord, I pray that if there is one here who does not know You as Savior, Lord, that during the invitation or even after the service has been dismissed, they would find somebody that could take the Word of God and show them how they can know You as Savior. Lord, we also pray for the young people downstairs. If there's young people downstairs that don't know You, Lord, that You would continue to work in their heart as well. Lord, I pray for those this morning that raised their hand, that You pointed something out in their life that they aren't taking advantage of those blessings. They're not rich according to God's standards. Lord, I pray that You'd help them to get those things settled and to commit to You to seek Your blessing in their life. Lord, help us. Lord, I mentioned those things that we as human beings, we here on earth, look at as being rich. Lord, help us to make sure that we aren't laying up for ourselves things here on earth that are one day just going to burn up and will no longer be here. And Lord, there's nothing wrong with those things I mentioned if they're in their right place. So Lord, help us to make sure we're seeking Your blessing in our life before other things. Thank You for this time now. Please bless in the invitation hymn in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jason.